Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host, and I'm based out here in Reykjavik, where this week I have had a lot of time for games actually. I've managed to squeeze in loads of games over the weekend. I had a really quiet weekend. The football season kicked off, so I had a screen open on my left eye, and I was just sat in front of the TV playing games for most of the weekend. It was really, really nice, relaxing, quiet, and I got into quite a few different games. I'm going to run through a couple of them before talking about two main games. I'm going to give a short rundown of a game called Glyph, which I've been playing. It's a kind of a bouncing ball game, an indie game that came out recently. And then the main game of this episode is a game that just came to Game Pass, and it's been getting a little bit of attention. Not loads, but a little bit. It's been played by a few people on Twitch. It's been getting some nice buzz on social media. And that's a game called Omno. A really nice, simple 3D platforming and adventure game. So I'm going to talk through that one as the main game of the show. But before I get to those, I'm going to talk through a few other games that I picked up this week for the first time. One of them is Children of Morta. I've heard about this game for so long now. People talk about it all the time. They talk about it in the same breath as games like Hades, although Hades is a much more recent and much more developed iteration on this formula. But Children of Morta is a pixel art dungeon crawler. And the pixel art is really remarkable, actually. It's some of the nicest pixel art I think I've ever seen. There's something about the palette that they've used that makes everything feel like it's kind of luminous and glowing. Something about the palette they've chosen makes it seem like there is light shining through the pixels, and especially when it comes to clouds and stained glass and light sources. It's quite beautiful, it's quite amazing what they've done. And it's a game about a family who live in a mansion out in the woods, and a curse falls over the woods, and they have to kind of yada yada defeat the curse. And what this equates to is that it's a dungeon crawler, but it's about a family, the family of, I think they're called the Bergsons. And it's an extended family with like a grandmother, a mother and father, and some young children and uncles and stuff like that. And they're all characters, and the game is based around the hub of their mansion. And in between runs, you get to wander between the rooms of the mansion and see what people are thinking, and get story elements like a kid that runs away because they want to prove themselves, or a grandmother that discovers an ancient dusty book and then unveils some lore, or the old uncle who fires up the forge to make new weapons, and all these kind of things. And then in the basement of this mansion is the way into the dungeon, and that's where you do runs through this kind of roguelike dungeon where you get currency, you fight baddies, you slowly uncover bits of story, and then when you die or you defeat a boss, you come back to the top, you have a little family meeting, you spend your currency to upgrade your weapons and so forth, and then you go again. And it's very hard at the beginning. kind of obnoxiously hard at the beginning. But once you've kind of been through, I would say, for me, it was maybe 6 or 7 runs, and I'd made enough money every time to upgrade my stats, so I wasn't just dying straight away, and I could hit quite hard. Kind of got into it, got past the first boss. But I think that all of the games in this genre kind of suffer by comparison and proximity to Hades. And this one is a little basic. Feels a little like a twin-stick shooter, like you spend a lot of time running away from baddies with your kind of back to them and then turning around to kind of face them all off once you kind of have done a little bit of crowd control. And there is a dash, but it has a really slow cooldown. So you dash once, you don't go very far, and you can't dash again for probably like 5 or 10 seconds. And that's a long window for you to soak up hits and lose your health. You don't get a lot of health in the dungeons either. So it's a little hard. I'm not flowing with this one quite yet, but I have enjoyed what I've played of it. It's just a little hard, a little blunt, not quite slick, like a few too many rough edges. But that's Children of Morta anyway. I've also been playing some more Mario and Rabbids, and this has just become my go-to chill game. This is the Mario strategy game. It's a crossover with this kind of Rabbids series that I'm not familiar with. They're kind of these annoying kind of yammering minions, but if you can ignore that and turn the sound down, it's a pretty good game. I would say that if you like Mario and you like Advance Wars, this is the game of your dreams, probably. It's turn-based, and you run through a Mario-ish world. I'm not sure there's enough meat on the bones of it for me to ever do a full episode about this game, but I do want to shout it out because it's always on sale, and I overlooked it for a long time, and I just wanted to mention to people that if that sounds like your idea of a good time, then this is actually a really good game. It's very polished. It has that Mario feel to it. But it has this strategy background, so it cuts out on the kind of stressful platforming and the difficulty of Mario games. And it's quite an easy turn-based strategy game that you can just blast through a few levels now and then. The final game that I've been playing from this little short summary section is Yakuza Like a Dragon. I've mentioned this one previously, but I've got through it more now. I've gotten through the first 3 chapters, and I have to say, this game is really going from strength to strength, even though I'm still kind of at the start of it. I'm really surprised by this one. I've dipped into some previous Yakuza games, but this one is a cut above all of them. In no small part due to the kind of the lightness of the whole thing. It doesn't feel like a kind of Godfather-ish crime saga. It's more like a kind of a comedy caper, with your hero just kind of lurching from scenario to scenario, getting into ridiculous scrapes with these really funny characters. It almost feels more like a kind of Spike Jones movie or something, the way that it's written. Like at the moment, this might be slight. This is spoilers? I don't know. Let's just say that my character's fallen upon hard times and is chilling with some homeless people at the moment. So I have kind of a party. It's a party-based, turn-based combat game with lots of running around and lots of narrative, lots of cutscenes. Kind of Netflix-y. It feels almost like you're watching a really good Netflix show. But I have like a down-on-his-luck cop, ex-cop, and like a street guy in my party at the moment. And their attacks are hilarious. So you'll be playing in combat and you'll power up. You'll get some new attacks. And the homeless guy in the party, for example, throws pigeon seed onto the enemy, and then pigeons swoop down and peck them into smithereens. And there's little touches like that where, rather than it just being very basic, like most JRPG-type games are, it's all kind of swords and sorcery and spells. It has the same format, but it's just done with a little bit of imagination and a little bit of lightness of touch. And I'm just loving it. I'm really loving it. I love sitting down and spending a good 1 or 2 hours on it every time. The sessions just go by in a flash. The story is fantastic. And for a game with so many cutscenes, it's high praise that I can sit and watch 10 minutes of cutscenes, not get bored, not put down my controller, and just be transfixed by the way the story is unfolding. It's a really great game. And I do also want to mention a game called Glyph. This is a game that came out this year on Windows and Switch. It's by a Danish studio, a 3-person studio called Bolverk. and it's a kind of a 3D action puzzle game in which you play a bouncing ball in a desert, like the ruined kingdom in a desert. Kind of basic looking, low poly looking. And you bounce along and you can roll, you can bounce, you get momentum. And you bounce on stones, but if you fall onto the sand, you die. And so you have to kind of find ways to navigate between paving stones, like kind of slabs sticking out of the sand at different angles. And you get abilities in pretty rapid succession at the start of the game. You get a double jump. You get a kind of a maneuver where you bounce down hard into the ground and then bounce higher. And you can double jump from there so you can get more elevation. And you get another ability where you can kind of open your shell because you're kind of an insect as well as being a ball. And you can kind of fly forward in a straight line. And so when you chain these moves together, you get quite a mobile main character where you can double jump, bounce down hard onto a stone in the middle of nowhere, double jump again, and then fly and cross these quite large distances and quite interesting vertical spaces. So it feels kind of old-fashioned in a way. I think there have been these kind of rolling ball games and bouncing ball games sort of stretching back as far as kind of video games go almost, you know. I think I remember playing games like this on the Amiga, like way back in the 90s. And so it has a very strong retro feel to it. There isn't an awful lot more to say about this one. I was sent it by the developer. It's not a game that I'm going to give a whole episode to, but I do want to give it a mention and thank them for sending me a copy. I had fun dipping into it. And if you want something kind of light and easygoing with not that much to it, just something to kind of occupy your time, Glyph is kind of fun. It has a story as well. You kind of get little bits of lore about the kingdom that you're bouncing your way through. I didn't entirely click with this one. I struggled sometimes to see where I was in the air in relation to the target I was falling towards. And my eye kind of wandered between looking at the ball, looking at the shadow of the ball, and looking at the landing area. And I would often just kind of face plant into the sand. Like I couldn't quite get my head around the 3D space. So it's not a glowing recommendation from me, but if you do want something like a bouncing ball type of game, you can go and check it out. Check out the trailer. It's on Windows and it's on Switch. That's Glyph. And the final thing before we get to the main game of the show, which is Omno, I would like to mention that this show is Patreon supported. So if you enjoy this show, whether it's your first episode or whether you're a long-time listener, I really, really, really appreciate my patrons. You can become a patron of the show for $1 a month. And for that, you get access to the show's Discord to talk to other listeners and me and some other friends and gamers about what you're playing. We all share screenshots, we share recommendations, we talk about new games that have come out. You'll get sale recommendations. I kind of comb through the sales and recommend a few games that are on sale. You'll also get occasional extra episodes. I'm about to record one about video game music. I've got all of my files set up and I'm all set up to record this weekend. So for $1 a month or $3 or $5, you can become a supporter of the show. All of the money goes right back into the show. I used some of the proceeds, my Patreon proceeds this week, to buy gamingintheWild.com. So I now have a domain name that leads to the podcast's webpage. So I do plow all of the Patreon money back straight back into the podcast for equipment and little things like that. And I really appreciate it. It's patreon.com/gamingintheWild if you're interested in supporting the show. Thank you to all of my patrons and thank you to you if that's something that you're interested in. And with all that out of the way, let's move on and talk about the featured game of the episode, Omno. So Omno is a game that I played on the Xbox. It just came to Game Pass on day one. It's a 2021 game by Jonas Mank, aka Inky Fox Studios, and published by Future Friends Games. It came out on Xbox, it's also on Steam, it's on PlayStation 4, and it has a Nintendo Switch port penciled in for quarter four of this year. It's £14.99 UK pounds, or $18.99 US dollars. It's done okay on Metacritic. It has 77 on the Xbox. It has 82 on PlayStation 4 with pretty similar user scores to the critic scores. How long to beat has it at 3 hours for the main story and 4 hours for completionists? But I feel like I was playing it for longer. I think I played it for 5 or 6 hours. But I did linger with this game. I enjoyed my time with it. I spent some time just wandering around, perhaps more than I had to. And I guess also newer games aren't that settled on how long to beat yet. It's quite a small sample size. But for me, this was a 5 or 6 hour game. And I would say that that's a good price for it. There's a lot of content in there. The developer describes Omno as a third-person adventure that will take you through lush forests, across a sun-blasted desert, over frigid tundra, and even into the clouds. Omno's interactive world challenges you with puzzles, secrets, and obstacles. See, that sounds like the description I would have written. There's lots of adjectives in there, but I've reworked it slightly in my traditional style, and I say, Omno is a hazy trip through the remains of a lost civilization, featuring gentle platforming, fun traversal, undemanding puzzles, and a pleasingly responsive natural world. And I found that this game was really, really relaxing game to play, actually. It is a third-person puzzle platformer. You spend a lot of your time running through this kind of interesting, it's not quite low-poly, but it's not far off, depiction of nature. And you start off in some swamps, and you soon discover that the swamp water will kill you, so you have to hop your way across logs. You can activate plants by touching them, and they will throw out these little crumbs of light, and collecting this light will add up into a kind of a speed boost that's kind of useful. And there is in each biome, they're all quite small, but in each biome there is a large portal that is the endpoint of the biome. But to open it, you have to find 3 orbs, and every time you find an orb, it will light up one of the lights on the portal pillar. And then when they're all open, you have the option to leave, or you can stay in that biome and try and find all of the orbs to 100% them. And there are some sort of challenge orbs that are a little more hidden than others, maybe on high places or behind puzzles or in tucked away areas. So there's a kind of a fast progression. You can rocket through these biomes if you want to and really just find 3 orbs and leave. But some of the most fun that I had was after I'd opened the portal, was kind of looking around and just kind of looking in the corners, making sure that I'd been everywhere, finding some of the most interesting puzzle gameplay that the game has to offer, and 100%ing the biomes. You also find these tablets, these lore tablets, because the structure of this game is that as you go from biome to biome, you're finding these tablets. There's usually one positioned really close to you when you begin, so you can't miss it. And then there are others scattered through the area, and then there's one at the finale. And each of these things is kind of a diary entry that was left by an explorer who has come this way before you. So you find the thoughts of this explorer, you find his thoughts about the natural world, you find little crumbs of lore where he talks about the light and moving into the light, and how the staff bearers, of which you are one, at least you appear to be because you have this little staff, how staff bearers can control nature, become one with nature, and use the light to kind of bring nature to life. And so you're discovering all of this stuff slowly as you come through. You're finding your orbs, you're opening doors. Each biome has a couple of levels, and then you'll move on to the next one. And there are these beautiful sequences between biomes that I won't spoil here. But I think there were 5 or 6 biomes in total. They were kind of the usual things that you find in video games. There was a swamp, there was a forest, there were some plains, there's a high plateau, some mountains, and a desert area as well. They're all really nice. They all have really nice light effects, and they have really nice weather effects. They look really beautiful. The music is very relaxing as you're moving through these areas. You're just constantly serenaded by nature sounds and by this very, very chill, kind of slightly new agey video game music. And I would say that the atmosphere of this game is one of its main attributes. It's very, very relaxing to play. The palette is kind of all pastel, purples, pinks, yellows. The movement is very smooth and easy, like you'll slide through the sand and slide across snow. The jumps are nice, and as you get more abilities, you can jump and dash in the air. You can use your staff to float, things like that. And the puzzles are kind of engaging without being demanding. I think throughout the entire game, I didn't really ever get stuck. I played this game on stream and had a really nice time with some of the people from the show's Discord came along and chatted to me. And I think because I was half talking and half playing, I got like vaguely stuck on a couple of puzzles, but it was because my attention was divided, and luckily for me, the people in the chat helped get me through those puzzles. But other than that, the puzzles really, they just take a couple of minutes to solve, and I don't think that's a bad thing actually. I know that some folks like to be really challenged by a puzzle and have to kind of to really work for a solution, but I sometimes just like to play a game and just kind of frictionlessly move through an experience. And that's what Omno is, really. It's a game that has very little friction. There are no enemies, there isn't any combat in this game, which is something that I always really like and I always really admire in a game, when you don't have to be like hitting things, killing things. It's a game in which you can just move through the landscape, explore, you can interact with nature to a really high degree. Like whenever you find a new animal, you can usually kind of use your staff to summon it, or you can, for example, you can run with some running animals that will run alongside you. When you skate over a frozen lake, it's one of my favourite moments in the game. There are these creatures that kind of skate alongside you like penguins. And it's just a very, very, really mellow, relaxed, beautiful kind of experience. It reminded me a lot of Journey, if you've played that game. There was lots of kind of sliding through sand, sort of moving through the air and boosting up, and just kind of enjoying this kind of natural world on your journey towards the conclusion. And I think it's pretty apparent that that is the whole intent of this game, is to be a relaxing, beautiful experience, a kind of a frictionless experience, and it does it very well. And something else that I would really like to heap praise onto Omno for, as well as the beautiful atmosphere and the look and sound of it, and the general gameplay experience, is the map. If you listen to this show a couple of times, you'll know that bad maps and the lack of maps is kind of a constant bugbear. I feel like it's maybe the critique that I dish out the most often, is that the map was either incomprehensible or unuseful or missing. Like in some games that I've talked about, for example, Control and Jedi Fallen Order, both have maps that were kind of borderline incomprehensible and really hard to use. And then again, like in the most recent episode, I covered Death's Door, which was a mazy Metroidvania that had no map at all, which just led to lots of unnecessary confusion in the game. And Omno has one of the most elegant solutions to the map problem that I think I've come across, because these areas aren't especially complicated. They tend to be wide open areas with a cliff around the edge or mountains, and that forms a kind of a natural barrier around the edge of the world. But they are big enough that sometimes you might wonder where that last orb is that you need. And so in Omno, as you're moving through each area, you'll find a kind of a plinth where you can kneel down, meditate, and then you've got the map for the area. But rather than being a map where it opens in a separate screen, or it's a screen overlay, or it's in a menu, in this game, your character, who I guess might be called Omno, I'm not sure, it's never really specified, let's call him Omno, but Omno holds up the staff, and then a kind of a disc of light appears at the top of the staff, and it shows where the orbs are in relation to you. There are no other map features on it, so you might hold up your staff, the disc appears, and then you know that to the northwest of where you're standing there is an orb, to the east of where you're standing there is an orb that you've already collected, and to the south, and then to the southwest there is another orb that you're yet to collect. So the orbs are lit up or dulled out based on whether you've collected them. And that's really all the information that you need to traverse this world. If you need a little bit of guidance or a little prompt, you just hold up your staff. You're not even snapped out of the gameplay, and you can just see in which direction you're supposed to head. And then the worlds are kind of cleanly designed enough that you just head towards that and you'll find it. Sometimes they might be up on a high platform that you have to puzzle your way up to, but you at least know which direction it's in. And so I really want to give a little bit of appreciation for that elegant and well thought out map system. It's such a common downfall of games, of otherwise great games, and Omno just absolutely nails it. And I think that is the main takeaway I have from this game, is that while it doesn't break any new ground whatsoever, it does everything very well. So the traversal is great. It's kind of a normal run speed. The jump is fine. You can catch on to ledges in a way that feels very good, like it's quite generous. So it's not often that I fell to my death in this game. He would usually catch onto a ledge, or I would be able to dash across, or, you know, I felt that the jumping was pretty good. A friend of mine wasn't so fond of the jumping, but I found it to be really intuitive and really well implemented, the traversal generally. There is this kind of snowboarding or sliding maneuver that you can do too, and that also felt great. It wasn't kind of incredibly refined, like when you hit things, you just kind of stop, or if you turn too hard, or if you go uphill, like it doesn't feel like it's polished to a high sheen, but it just works. And it's the same with all of the aspects of Omno. Like the puzzles, they aren't incredibly complicated, but they're engaging enough for you to have to think about them just enough to kind of ease your way past them and get onto the next area. And again, the animals, like the range of animals that you encounter, they're just there for fun, really, for it to be nice. Like, you'll find animals that fly, you'll find plants that respond to you. There's lots of little bits and pieces of puzzles and little interactive segments. And all of them add up to a really pleasant, well-designed, considered game experience. So whilst it's not groundbreaking, it does everything so well that I think that it's worthy of praise. Where usually in a review of a game, I will remark about a couple of things that were rough around the edges, in Omno, it was all pretty good, you know, it all did what it was supposed to do. I actually really, really, really enjoyed my time with this game. It's very well put together. If I was pushed to pull out anything to criticize it with, I would only really say that there are some kind of edge-of-the-world moments where you feel like you should be able to, for example, I think a couple of times I clambered up onto rocks that maybe I wasn't fully supposed to be on, like it wasn't playable area. But I'd managed to find my way up there just because I'm, you know, a curious player, as we all are. We like to try and explore the corners. And I hit a few walls where I was just running against an invisible wall. So there were a few areas where the freedom of traversal led to you being in places that you probably weren't supposed to be. I would say also that in terms of secrets, I feel like there could have been more, actually. I think I was being very, very curious as I was running around, like finding little nooks in cliff sides and finding little ledges that I could only just reach with a jump and a dash or a floating down onto, and expecting to find secrets. And often I found that there was nothing there. So I think there could have been more secrets tucked away. But honestly, these are really small criticisms. And while Omno isn't like a 10 out of 10, I think that the score of 8 out of 10 or 75 out of 100 that it's been getting is probably fair. It's a quality game, you know. It's just a good game. I really enjoyed this one. If you're on Game Pass, I recommend you give it a try. If you're a fan of Journey and Abzu, and even like old 3D platformers like Spyro and stuff like that, it's like somewhere in between, like those classic 3D platformers, and then a modern sort of relaxing indie experience like Journey. A really nice mellow game. I enjoyed it. That's Omno. So that's our episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing about Omno. There was another game that I was going to mention in the intro and forgot to mention, and that is Griftlands. I've mentioned it once before. It's an RPG deck battler, and I actually had my first successful run this week on my fourth go. I think I'm 10 hours in, I've had four runs, and I finally got to the end of the first story. There are other stories that are now unlocked, like whole other games within a game. So I think I'm going to play those ones. I'm starting to really enjoy that game. I've got my head around the systems now, and I'm really starting to get a feel for it. It's kind of a steep learning curve with that one, but I think that might be coming up next week or the week after. I also added a couple of new games to the slate. This week, 12 Minutes is going to be released. That's a game I've been looking forward to for quite a while. It's coming out on Game Pass and PC, I believe. And it's a top-down thriller in which there is a home invasion, which takes a deadly turn, and then the game goes into a time loop. And you are pre-armed with the knowledge of the last time loop, and you can behave differently in each time loop and try and find a way to kind of prevent tragedy in this time loop home invasion situation. It's an indie game. It's voiced by James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe. I had to look up two of those, but I recognise their faces at least. I think Daisy Ridley was in the new Star Wars movies. Willem Dafoe, I know. And James McAvoy, I'm not sure what I've seen him in. I think he was in some of the X-Men movies or something. But anyway, 12 Minutes is coming out this week, so I'll be downloading that on Game Pass, and that's going straight onto my list. I also bought No Longer Home, a game that I've been very curious about for a while. It finally came out. It's an autobiographical point-and-click game about two friends who live together, and they leave their shared apartment, and it's about the emotions that go with that. The developers went through that experience themselves. They've cited Kentucky Route Zero as an influence, which is always enough to make me raise an eyebrow and become interested. They are called Humble Grove, and it's published by Fellow Traveller, a publisher that I really enjoy, who focus on narrative games. So No Longer Home is going onto the slate as well. And that's all for this show. I hope that you enjoyed it. I've been on Twitch lately, so if you'd like to come and hang out with me on Twitch and see me streaming games, that's at twitch.tv/gamingintheWild. I'm also on Twitter. I talk there every day. It's Gaming in the Wild on Twitter. Same on Instagram, same on YouTube. You can find all of those links at gamingintheWild.com, which is the new URL that I bought using my Patreon's supporter money. And if you would like to contribute to that and to help me out with the show, I really appreciate it. It's patreon.com/gamingintheWild if you're interested in that. I'll be back next week. Take care of yourselves and each other. Bye-bye for now.